Blog Talk Radio.
Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayan.
Inspiration through word and song for you.
Though your world is torn apart and you're left with a broken heart and you feel that there's no real healing inside. Oh no, but this I know. You cannot feel it, just believe it. He'll make everything. He'll make it all right. He will make it all right.
Welcome to Don't Give Up Radio Show. This is the special show. Why is this the special show? Because, my listeners, this is my 100th episode. That's right, 100 episodes of Don't Give Up Radio. This is it. All of the years of doing this and plugging away, and I'm looking to do even greater things. I have some excellent products coming down the pipe that will serve you guys well to reach your dreams and push away the challenges so you can get to the goals and the desires that are ahead of you. That is my passion, to see you do that. Just as I wanted to do it for myself, I want you to be able to do that for yourself. And God, who created you, wants you to get there, and that's what the show is designed to do, to help you through that process. So I want to thank you for being here for the past 5-plus years, allowing me to do these 100 episodes with you, to share with you. I thank all the guests who have been on, their names that some of us may not remember, and then there's the celebrity names that people talk about all the time. But the only thing that matters is that every one of the guests were willing to open up their heart and share their life and share their story and say, this is what God did for me. Even when I was in my ugly place, even when I was in the midst of transition, in hurt, in pain, at a crossroads, and I didn't know what to do, this is how God pulled me through that dark place and helped me to get to where I am today. And I still might not be at the finish line, but I'm definitely not in the pit where I used to be. That's what I can say for sure, and I know many of my guests have shared that, if not all of them. And tonight's guest is no different. Kevin Anthony Fowler, otherwise known as K. Anthony, a.k.a., is from the breezy and vibrant island of Montego Bay, Jamaica, in the house. I know it. And, you know, you're a music major, you're a singer-songwriter, you were classically trained, and now you're here to share your story with us. Welcome to the show, K. Anthony.
It's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you. Mm-hmm. You grew up, you know, you say, in a very close-knit family, mom, dad, and you have a younger brother.
Yeah,
what was life like growing up for you in the islands? What was like a typical day for you and your family? You know, were you always rooted in church? You know, what was it like?
My mom was out of church. My parents were out of church. And when I was about 11, my mom, between 7 and 11, my mom got baptized, recommitted her life. So she became the main center where God is concerned in our home. So during that time, though, I was more into track and field. So I wasn't into church. I would visit church with my mom, but then it was more just visiting. So I grew up in Falmouth. I was born in Montego Bay, grew up in Falmouth. Went to early schools. School would be in Falmouth, and where I started doing track and field. Then I went to high school in Montego Bay.
Okay, so let's go back a little bit, because I think that's really intriguing. It's very different when you grow up in a home, and it's a certain way. There's certain rules and everything, and then at a certain point, one leadership role person in that house you know, gives their life to the Lord, everything begins to change in the house in terms of what might have been acceptable before and things of that nature. So were you now required to go to Sunday school on Sundays when she understood and came to a relationship with the Lord?
Well, actually, she went back to her old church, which she grew up in as Seventh-day Adventist. She, at first, she wouldn't ask us to, but then at a point, she would tell us, you guys need to come. But the problem was I was deep in track and field, so I always have events on the weekends. But then over time, I decided that I would go. I got involved in music very early, from the age of maybe 11, I started singing. So that was what motivated me at the time to go to church. Not necessarily a relationship with God, but my view of that is God used certain things to hold you until you get to know him.
So, that's interesting.
That was a building process for me. He allowed me to realize that I have a talent. Apart from track and field, I had a talent in of music. And I developed such a love for it that I would want to sing every time I go to church.
I see. So it was really more so of a love to sing and a love to share your singing with others than it was necessarily what you were singing about or who you were singing about at that time.
Yeah. But then I became passionate about, for me, singing a song, first it has to have an impact on me as an individual. So from a very tender age, that although I did not know of the full understanding of what who God is, there was some connection to the where, with the words of the song that I'm singing to in my life. I was able to internalize it and then give it to you in a manner where you appreciate or you would have a full understanding of what I'm saying in an emotional sense. Because I believe singing is like painting a picture.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about interpretation, and even within.
So I was able to do that from an early age.
No, I was saying usually people have to be trained to interpret a song if they're young, or you learn how to interpret a song once you get older. But here you are, you're young, and you're really impacted by the words. You're able to actually, you did a lot of experimentation in terms of rearranging old hymns, and did you find that the congregants were able to respond to that, or did you get like a slap on the hand for trying to change, you know, the old traditional music?
Well, sometimes they think I was a little bit over the top, but I was always a very strong person in the sense of what you think of me, so as long as I know I'm doing it from my heart and it's pure and it's true to me, I'm not easily broken by that, whatever you have to say negative. Some person didn't like the fact that I was I move when I'm singing, but that's just who God made me to be, that person. I'm not the person to stand and just sing. I have to be in it because I believe it. I believe what I'm doing. Put myself totally in it. Just as if I was going to be doing secular music, I would be in it totally, not partly. And there's a lot of preparation that goes into that. So for me, if I'm serving the true and living God, there must be that I put a lot of preparation into whatever I'm doing. It's not theatric. It's being smart about what you're doing and allowing it to be effective.
So now we have, you know, your mom gets saved. She's serious about it. She's following. And then she says, boys, you know, you need to come along. And you're drawn because, you know, it's a chance for you to do the music, a chance for you to sing and everything like that. But you also mentioned to me at the top of the show that you also have this love for running. You love track and field.
Oh, yeah.
And we all know Jamaica is like number one when it comes to that. So I can imagine the passion that you had for this.
Even to this day. Because then I had gotten a scholarship to one of the well-known high schools because of that's the school Usain Bolt went to. Because I grew up in the Falmouth. He's from Trelawney, not too far from where I'm from. I was the most dominant name between, well, I'm not sure to state the time, about 1994 to about 93, 94, 95. I was a very dominant person in the primary, between primary and high school. So I was well known for track and field, and my mom sent me to private. I was sad. I was rebellious because of that. But it was her way in terms of trying to guide me from what she think would have led me down a path that wouldn't be godly at a point. Now being mature, some of that carries weight and it's true. So she sent me off to private school. I went there for the 5 years of high school.
I'm going to pause you right there because actually, you know, this is Don't Give Up Radio Show, and we're talking to people who are going through crises just like that, where you have a dream, where you think your direction is one thing, and, you know, your parent might not be backing you and they're telling you something else, you know, and that's a real conflict. So I want to slow that down. When we come back, we're going to look at that a little bit more because it's one thing to know that you have something inside of you that's great and you're choosing to go after it. You're choosing to reach that dream. But there are times when there's going to be barbed wire in your way. There's times when it's going to be dark. But you have to have something inside of you that says, I'm going to push through and I'm going to reach the top no matter what the obstacles are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm heading to the top.
I'm gonna head into the top.
Ooh, yeah.
I'm gonna head into the top.
Barbed wire. Life is like a boxing match. You gotta get ready for them blows. With my head up, my feet firm, I'm moving forward to claim the prize that I've been training for. Success might not be an overnight experience. You will be falling, but keep on fighting. Even if you have to hold on to the ropes, remember you be heading to the top. I'm heading to the top, no looking back. Heading to the top, no one can stop. Heading to the top to claim my prize, cause I've been waiting way too long. I'm heading to the top, no looking back. Heading to the top, no one can stop. Heading to the top to claim my prize, cause I've been waiting way too long.
I got my pants on, shirt on my back, my back is trapped. Out of my way, cause I can't wait for another day. Hey, who you think you're talking to that I won't go to my destination? Yeah, are you my determination? What do you know about my struggle? Cause I'm heading,
I'm heading to the top, no looking back. Heading to the top, no one can stop.
I'm
heading to the top to claim my prize, cause I've been waiting,
I'm waiting too long.
I'm heading to the top, no looking back. Heading to the top, no one can stop. Heading to the top to claim my prize. Oh, I've been away, I'm away for so long. I gotta keep on fighting, fighting through the air.
I gotta keep on fighting.
I gotta keep on fighting, fighting through the air. They won't get me down. They won't get me down. The tricks won't get me down. Discouragement won't get me down.
I'm heading to the top.
Known throughout the area and beyond for being an up-and-coming, have your eye on this kid, he's probably going to get to the Olympics kind of thing, right? And
yeah.
and that's what you have all your heart set on, and it's time to go to high school. And your mom
mm-hmm.
chooses instead to put you into a private high school. Before we even talk about you going there, I want to hear that conversation. You know, what was the discussion between the two of you? What did you say to her? How did your behavior, how did you handle that?
The good thing is that me and my mom have a very good relationship, like a very good one. I couldn't overemphasize that. So I was able to talk with her, like have a conversation. She allowed me to realize exactly what she was preventing me from getting into. It's not just the immediate fact that it's track and field, but you think at some point in time, I would have forgot about church and more focused on that. And I don't want to get ahead of the whole thing. But I remember that day we were talking in the kitchen, and she said to me, I was crying. I said to her, "This is all I know as a talent. Why did God give me this talent if I'm not supposed to use it?" And she said one thing to me. She said, "How do you know that you don't have another talent?" At that time, I wasn't singing. And she said, "Maybe you need to pray and ask God to open your eyes to see if you have another talent." And to be honest, it was shortly after that I realized that I was able to sing.
Wow, that's interesting. So now I want to back up a second, because when you first started going to church, you know, when you were 11-ish, it was just
mm-hmm.
because you wanted to sing, right?
When I said sing, it was like, you know, you have junior choirs, so it was fun, but I didn't know, like, I could sing, you know. You'd be a part of a group, but you don't know that you can really sing. So at 11, I was in the junior choir. So that I found to be interesting.
Okay.
I always wanted to sing with the junior choir. So after that, now I realized that as a solo act, I could actually sing.
Okay. And then my other question is, when did,
mm-hmm.
because now it sounds like at this point of high school that you now have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. When
yes.
did that happen for you? When did that come online?
Well, after going to church and understanding the Bible for myself, I said, you know what, it makes sense to give God your all. It was still hard because I was still fighting with the fact that I have this ability and I want to use it. When I was about 15, I decided that I would surrender totally to God by baptism, which was a process. I think, again, one of the things that allowed me to want to do it was the mere fact that I had a group. I had two groups, one at the church and one at the high school, because I'd formed a group at the high school also. And they wanted us to be able to represent the church and represent the total body. And because of that, for that to happen, they have to ordain you. That was one of the motivating factors for me to get baptized, apart from the fact that I got to understand the Bible for myself. I wanted to be ordained as a singing minister.
Got it. Okay, so during this process, you came to the Lord for yourself. You got to make that decision
yes.
for yourself, because it's not something your parent can
mm-hmm.
do for you.
No,
they can only,
no.
You're the one who has to drink for yourself.
Yes.
And it sounds
oh, yeah.
also, even before your mother made this decision to send you to a private school that had no athletic team, ever, so it wasn't even like
mm-hmm.
you kind of already started to feel, it sounds to me like you already started to feel something happening in your spirit that was maybe indicating that that was not the path for you. You describe it as being a spiritual struggle. Talk to us about that struggle. What was going on inside of you?
I want to do something so badly. I don't know. It came natural. Athletics for me came, it's very natural, it's easy. All my family, my mom used to be a runner throughout her time, my uncles, so it came natural. The one thing I can tell you is this, biblically speaking, if you believe and know that your parents or your parent have surrendered herself to God, that means she, or he or she's headship and is directing you in the right path. And so I have a love and trust in my mom that I will not disobey her wishes. And that was the main thing for me. Going through the struggle, I knew that I wanted to do this, but I respect her enough to carry it out.
And, you know, that is a beautiful thing because you had enough wisdom to understand, listen, this is high school. If this is meant to be for me, I can wait it out, right? And the
mm-hmm.
opportunity will rear its head. And if not meant to be, God will show me exactly what
mm-hmm.
it's supposed to be. That I know it was hard. I know it's hard because none of us like to put down our own desires. You know, we always, and that is the problem between most relationships is because we always want to
mm-hmm.
put ourselves first. We want to think we know best.
Mm-hmm.
And very
mm-hmm.
rarely do we defer to someone else, even especially someone who's in leadership over us. And yes, your
mm-hmm.
young people, your parents are in leadership. And I don't want anyone listening who is a track and field runner who loves the Lord to think, oh, something's wrong with track and field and you can't run.
No,
that's
not
what we're saying at all. There are plenty of people in sports who give God all the glory and honor. There's a wonderful movie out
uh-huh.
right now
mm-hmm.
called
mm-hmm.
Woodlawn
mm-hmm.
about a football team that gave their life to Christ and tore that whole state of Alabama upside
mm-hmm.
down, right? So you can do a lot for the Lord in sports, but the issue is you have to go to the Lord for yourself and find out what he has for
you,
right?
You have to know if it is your purpose, if it is his will for you to go in that particular direction.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, you had to muster up the strength to deal with that, but you were respectful and you did. So now talk to us about that time. What did you start to learn? What did the Lord start to teach you during that time when you couldn't run? You said you found out that you could sing, you could lead in that
mm-hmm.
way. What else did you?
For me, everything, it was a matter of process. So it was gradually putting me to the point where I would stand on my own. It took some time. So I started singing lead at church and at school. I sang lead for the choir at my graduation, high school graduation, that is. And she saw the passion and she said, have you ever thought of studying music? Actually, I wanted to become an agronomist. And I did not think about doing music, although I had that passion for it. And again, I submitted to her leading, and I applied at the university to study music.
Wow. So I'm going to take one step back again, because that's really powerful, but I feel like there's a little bit more right before we get to that graduation
uh-huh.
point. Because, you know, ninth grade, you come in, right, and you're a little bit disappointed.
Uh-huh.
And senior year, you graduate and you realize, my goodness,
uh-huh.
I can actually do this thing. You talk about taking roles of leadership while you were there. And you also mentioned
uh-huh.
that, you know, you had renewed purpose in your adolescent life. How did you see the Lord
uh-huh.
using this period of time to grow you, to stretch you, not only in music but in other ways, just as a young man in general?
For persons who had the same problems, like, for instance, making a choice between something and God, I was able to share my experience. Even some of the individuals that was a part of the group, similarly had some talented individual. That's it. Depending on the talent, sometimes it's between choosing the talent or choosing what God desires for you. And it's I think it's a life. God, within God, the biggest gift God have given to humanity is choice. And so right before me, there's two talents. But which one is going to direct me to the path where God wants me to be in? And I think I was able to impact others who had similar struggles during that time.
That's what we have to realize. You know, we don't go through what we go through just for ourselves. We do it so that we can encourage others, that we can help others through their path. That's why I do this show. And what I love about your song, It's Not Over, I retitled it Don't Give Up because I want it to be the new anthem for a radio show for 2016. But it's not over until God says it's over, you know. And at that moment, you know, as a young person, and we know how passionate and obstinate we can be when we're teenagers, and you have something and you have to lay it down, and you could think, you know, all is lost. Everything's over. May as well I just, you know, give up and quit on everything. But you didn't. You allowed God to speak to you, and he showed you that he had another direction. When we come back, we'll hear more about K. Anthony and the music and what God is doing in his life now.
Life can be hard, like gravity, it keeps you to the ground. You might not have food to eat, but don't you dare give up now. Sun might not seem to shine in your day, and darkness seems to cover you. Just know that your sunshine will come one day. Not every day will be the same. It's not over until God says so. So don't you give up now.
Not over. I call it Don't Give Up Now.
Yeah, there's two titles for it. It's actually Don't Give Up. But I have to submit another title also. So it's right. Don't Give Up.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. Don't Give Up. I love it because that's going to be our new anthem, I'm telling you. You decided you were going to lay down the track and field. And in the course, you found other things that you were good at, particularly singing. And as you're leaving and that graduating song, and it just stirred the whole class and the whole audience, and your mom actually comes to you again and says, hey, have you ever thought about studying music? And, you know, there's a gentleman who's all the rage right now. If you haven't heard of him, you should check him out. His name is Jonathan McReynolds. His album has been number four for the past 3 weeks, I think, or number four. And you know, he was a music major, but he really never intended on singing. Right, that was the last thing on his mind. And God said, "Yeah, this is what you're going to do." And you know, I've heard you know, stories like this where, you know, I have, there's a wonderful preacher out in Georgia called Jensen Franklin, loved music, studied the saxophone, and to this day he can minister on the saxophone like nobody's business, but the Lord called him into the ministry, even though, he, you know, he studied music. So, you know, there's so much that the Lord can do to you, for you. You do want to edge yourself, and you want to be skilled. So talk to us about your journey from entering into studying about music and then making this a professional choice for yourself.
Wow. So that's, I'll have to cut it short. It's been, it was a, it has been a long one. So I enrolled in Northern Caribbean University in Jamaica. It was hard because I wasn't exposed to music in high school that much. So I started out doing beginner's stuff.
Yeah, I just want to explain that for the audience because, you know, a lot of us who are naturally talented and gifted, we play by ear, we think by ear, we do things intuitively, naturally. But we didn't study notes, we didn't study a bar, we didn't learn scales, you know, and all those things are basics, they're foundation to building music. So you had to go back to square one, that's what you're saying, right?
Yes, because then I thought I could sing at this point, now I said, okay, yeah, I can sing. And when I enrolled, I realized, really, I didn't really know much about singing, you know, because classical music is good. It's not my first choice of music, but it's the root. It will allow you to understand a lot of stuff.
There's diction. There's breath control.
Yeah,
there's
breath control.
You're phrasing. Yeah.
I was had at that time. I had a lot of vibrato, and I had a lot of I grew up doing a lot of slurs. So then I learned that it was just an ornamentation, and you only would want to put it on at this point in time. Because the icing is just to make it look good and appealing. So you learn different ornamentation that they use in music. In overall, singing a particular song, every song is expected to be delivered not the same. So there's a lot I learned. I didn't even necessarily learn to rap because that was my emphasis there. But that was where I actually learned to start writing. And it was as a result of a friend. So the foundation of it was classically based. And then I was rebellious. So when I left class, I would then go back to my style of contemporary singing. So I would only do classical music when I know that I have an exam coming up or a recital. I won't tell anybody to do that. But already I knew what I wanted to do, in a sense. I didn't know how I was going to get there, but I knew I wanted to do contemporary gospel. And that's classical. I did Royal School of Music. I was successful. At the Trinity College, I was successful in the classical music. But that wasn't my passion. I believe that the demography for classical music was too small, and I wanted to have a larger platform, a larger reach in speaking to people. And so I chose to go contemporary.
That makes total sense. And, you know, Alicia Keys, it was a wonderful example herself. You know, she was trained classically since she was a little girl. But at home, she was listening to all the old school, you know, Motown sound, you know, those great classics, R&B classics. And so what she was able to do because of the classical training, now there's no one like her. No one can play a piano like that and deliver the type of soul that she does with her vocal cords, John Legend as well. And so they bring a unique flavor to it when you have that classical perspective.
Yes.
When did you know, you know, you said you knew you wanted to do contemporary gospel. How did you begin to enter into the industry? Because that's really what's difficult for people. They have the dream, but they don't even know where to start or how to begin. How did the Lord open doors for you?
Well, I persons around me. So, right, I knew the persons around me who were stronger at certain points, like stronger at writing. I was a developing writer. I'm still a developing writer. But they were ahead of me. I know the person who could create the tracks. I know the person who could do the graphics. So I pull them around me. I tell them what my vision is or was at the time. And I said to my mom, I want to do a recording. And she said, okay. She paid for it. And I found a studio and I started. And I said, I want to turn this recording into a singer. And then I got my friend to do the picture, the designing. And before that, my friends were the ones who were producing me, because I asked them, because I knew that they have never done this before, but they had the ability. I know that because I've seen them work within music and see that this person is good at arranging this style of music. So it was actually God who allowed me to see the persons around me and their gift and what they were able to do, and to draw them closer and form a team at the time. And then I was, because of that, I went to the studio with pretty much with two of us, which is a team. One person, he's able to do a lot. He was able to do graphics, the photography, and also help with the writing and creating the track. And so we were like a one-man band. We were like a three-guy band. So when we went to the studio, the person who owns the studio was interested in me as a talent, signed right there and then. Short story to that, after signing that contract and touring the U.S., we departed ways because of some disagreement. But that was how I got started. I had a vision. I saw the persons around me and asked them if they would want to be a part of my movement. And we started working together.
You know, it's amazing because God put the people around you. They were right there all along. And
yeah.
I love the fact Mom gets right on board and she says, yeah, I'll pay for it. You know, she had the vision to see, though, this thing wasn't going to work. This is, and I'm going to support
mm-hmm.
you. I'm going to back you.
Mm-hmm.
So you took the vision of recording, of putting the video together. And when people see that you're serious and you're putting one step in front of the other, they're willing to come alongside you. And there you are, this, you know, the owner of the studio or whomever, the producer sees you and you get signed and you end up, you know, touring.
Uh-huh.
And touring is very difficult. It is a very, very difficult thing, very difficult process. But the thing that I admire the most about what you said is the fact that you ask. You know, it's a challenge for me. It's hard
uh-huh.
for me to ask. I tend to be the one-man show, doing everything myself, which does not work. You know, at least a three-man show is a team, and it's a strong team that can work
mm-hmm.
work out together. And so what is something along? I want you to give one practical piece of advice and one spiritual piece of advice to someone who's pursuing their dream.
Yeah, well, one thing is that you're not able to do everything. Everyone has a different talent. My talent is my strong point is not necessarily what is your strong point. And I selected persons, one, who could keep me grounded and also had something to help me develop into a better artist, into a better minister. And that is important. You want people that is not going to be yes, 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 but who is going to objectively filter a sense to look and say, hey, you're a slipping man, or hey, I don't think you should do this because of this. Look at it this way. You want persons like that around you. And what I would give persons as advice is that it doesn't matter what you're going through, just remember this. Psalm 28, verse 6 says, blessed be the Lord because he hath heard the voice of my supplication. You must try and always keep a close relationship with God and whatever struggles, because over the time and even now I still have issues, I still have problems, because it took me until I was in my early 20s to give up track and field totally. So maybe you'll have to have me another time to explain all of that. It doesn't matter what you're going through. The seventh verse said, the Lord is my strength and my shield, my heart trusted in him and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. So with him, you have the strength to overcome whatever obstacle you are going through. During that process, just continue to praise God.
I love that. I love what the verses you shared, the wisdom you shared. I love the fact that the word of God is in you, you know, that you're not an artist who's just singing, but you're truly ministering. And that ministry is contemporary, but it's still real. And you've got a great sense of style, too, I've got to tell you. You're always sharp. You're right up there with, like, Molly Music and all those guys. You know, I'm sure he's one of your influences. I hear a little touch of that in your style.
What is funny that people said that, but I found out about Molly Music, I think, 2010, after someone in New Jersey was interested in working with me in music, being my manager. And he said, hey, have you ever heard of this guy in Mali? And I said, no. I said, I think you need to check him out. I said, why? He said, because you guys have there's something about you guys that are similar. So it's funny, persons always say that. Yeah, after I listened to him, I said, yeah, I see what persons are saying. And he's an extremely good talent, yeah.
Yeah, he's a talented guy, and God's called him to share in a very unique way. And he's following that passion. So I'm sure when the day comes, you guys will be able to partner together in a nice way. I'm going to call that in the future. Yeah, definitely. You know, thank you for being on the show. Tell the people where they can follow you, where they can find your music.
You can find me at Instagram as K Anthony Live. You can find me on Facebook as K-Anthony or Kevin Anthony Fowler. And you can find me my website is kanthonymusic.com.
Yes, in fact, I put the link here on Blog Talk Radio, kanthonymusic.com. You can just click it and go right there. For those of you who are listening, I would normally sign off now, but we're going to actually come back after this next song, and we're going to have a few shout-out celebrations for the 100th anniversary of Don't Give Up Radio. Thank you for being my 101 guest. And
I'm privileged.
Well, hopefully we'll be able to do more collaborations in the future. Looking forward to your career
doing.
Thank you for ministering in the way that you do, and we'll stay in touch.
Yeah, definitely. You called me at a time when I'm sick, and I'm actually on the road heading out to studio to do some work today.
All right.
So sorry about the noise you were hearing. I was actually driving to a particular place at this time. But I do appreciate your support. I thank you, and I really thank you for having me on the show.
Not a problem. We'll be in touch soon. I'll send you the 30 seconds that I want for the show's intro.
No problem.
And thank you for sharing with us the fact that God is good all the time.
All the time, man.
There's a saying, you already there. Said it's a cliche, but I know it's better because it means so much to me. Hope when I am down, it's the strength when I am weak, it reminds me who God is. Yeah, enough time is filled with problems, no one there to solve them. When things are and there's no way out, Christ stands up and turn it around. Turn your darkness into light, take your load and make it light. And it's because it's good. Yeah, when I say God is good, you say all the time. When I say all the time, you say God is good. When I say God is good, you say all the time. When I say all the time, you say God is good. You've been my strength, my shield all the time. Provided food and shelter, God is good. Opened up my eyes when I was blind, so I got to let you know. When I say God is good, you say all the time. When I say all the time, you say God is good. When I say God is good, you say
all the time.
When I say all the time, you say God is good. You've given me happiness and joy.
The time is giving me hope when I was lost. God is good. He opened up some doors when I was in need. So I got to let you know.
Yeah. Can
Don't
I tell
give
you that?
Up radio show with Jackie Wayans.
Inspiration through word and song for you.
God is good all the time. And, you know, sometimes that's a cliche. Sometimes when we see the devastation going on in our world, like we have in just the past few days with the loss of hundreds of lives in this country, in this world that we live in, from Paris to Baghdad, it's like, you know, you want to say, well, where is the goodness? But always remember that the Word of God says that where you see evil abound, that grace, the love of God, even more abounds. The prayers of the people are making a difference. God hears and he sees and he knows. And that's why I wanted to do this show. I wanted to have a voice out there that helped people, no matter what they were going through, no matter what age they were, to understand and know that giving up is the worst thing that you could do. Because, you know, for those of you who've been listening since the beginning in 2010, I started the show because of what I didn't hear. I heard shows when I was in my most difficult period of life, my most depressed and suicidal time. The radio shows that I was listening to, the Christian broadcasts that were on and the motivational broadcasts, said, hey, you know, this is where I was, but now I'm here. Or they said, you know, this is what the Word says and you can do it. But no one talked about the process. No one talked about the difficult places. And we've had shows that have been, you know, kind of light and easy, kind of like Kay Anthony's, what he shared with us tonight. And then we've had some very deep, heavy stuff where people have really almost lost their lives trying to make it to their goal, to their dream, to their livelihood. But because they did not give up, they did not give up on God. They did not give up on their faith. They did not give up on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we were able to listen for an hour and at the end of that time come to a place and a space where we could hear what God did for them. And so my thing is that God is no respecter of persons. So if he would do that for every guest that has been on, then he would definitely do it for you, the listener, as well. If you're listening on Blog Talk Radio, I encourage you to go to my personal page, Jackie Wayans, Jacqueie Wayans, on Facebook, or Don't Give Up Radio. You have to have the radio there on Facebook. And I've posted my top 20 shows over these past 5 years. And, you know, it's ranged in topic. And what's amazing to me, it didn't really matter whether my guest was a celebrity or not. that was not why you guys were tuning in. You're tuning in because of the topic. You're tuning in because of the subject and what was hitting home for you. And I just wanted to go through a few of them with you. You know, the number one show, I have to take the time to shout them out in a very loving way, and that is the group Mosaic. They are a hometown group from New York City, formed from many different boroughs of sister churches and together to sing for the Lord. And they had a vision to do it, and they didn't wait. They didn't tarry. They did it. And the music is so touching, so sincere. And their stories, each of them had a little piece of the puzzle that they shared in that episode called The Mosaic of Life. And interestingly enough, not long after that show, we lost one of the key people for that group, Kevin Locke, who's a dear friend of mine, wonderful youth leader and brother and musician and husband. And so it was really a testament to me that we need to live our lives today, because we really don't know what tomorrow might have in store for us. It's a lesson that I have to remind myself of daily, because I often get caught up in the rat race of life. And then the next number two was From Molestation to Wholeness. And I got to say, I was a little nervous to do this show. I knew it was a real issue, one that we don't talk about, especially in the body of Christ, and there are too many of us who are need for healing in that area to be fulfilled. And it's something that was very close to home for me. So I was very thankful to see the love and the support that this young lady out of Texas, Shamika Bonner, was able to share with us, and really to get people to hear her and to hear that they are important, and not to take the blame for the things that may have happened to them in their past, and how to deal with that and how to allow God to heal you. And so, like I said, you know, the shows over the years have ranged in topic. Number three, also a heavy hitter, we had the cancer edition. It was a two-hour show. I had three guests on to cover the different aspects of cancer. So, you know, we had one person who was pronounced with the disease more than once and is healed completely. What's amazing about that story is Deborah Isaacs actually had another bout of cancer since that show, and she is, again, 100% cancer-free. So I'm looking forward to her releasing her book and telling her story, because it is a powerful testament to what the power of God can do. But she represented the person who faced cancer and won. And then we had someone who faced cancer and lived with it, which is not one that we often talk about. There are types of cancers out there that the doctors don't know what to do too much with. They can just kind of try to keep you comfortable. The rest is in God's hands. And Tracy Randall has gone on to live a successful life, raising his family, having multiple careers, being in the industry and doing great things, and most importantly, having a wonderful outlook, to the point that his doctors have now just conceded to the fact that, you know, he's a walking miracle, and that's the greatest testimony. And then we had B. Renee, who's a singer and herself, Renee Garnes, and she was explaining her husband's journey, who faced the battle of cancer three times, and then the third time he lost that battle. But she talked about how he lost it and the dignity that he had as a man and as a father and as a husband, as a brother, and the legacy that he left behind. He kept his family safe and was well provided for. Number four, we had Titus Broom, who was a kid who was on the street got involved with drugs, even though he had a Christian home. He had pains and hurts in his heart. He went in the wrong direction, ended up in jail, ended up in a wheelchair, ended up shot in the back, crippled and paralyzed. But the Lord got a hold of his life and has completely transformed his path. We have another brother out in Texas who actually, technically it's the number 5 and 6 spot, but I just put them together, and that is Victor Marquis. And, you know, we called his episodes The Victor, and he really talked about his journey with the Lord. And also he was very honest about what it is to be an adult male and to live a lifestyle that is celibate, to live a lifestyle that is abstinent of sex and honoring your body and honoring women around you. And that was wonderful to hear from a man. We often hear women talking about it, but to hear a man talk about it was absolutely awesome. And then with Veterans Day just being last week, rounding out the numbers, we have Combat Boots to Stilettos with Latte Davis. And, you know, she was someone who was in the military, came out, and really found a way to minister and serve those who have been in the military, you know, because she realized that the adjustment was not an easy one. And she rounded out that number at number 6. You know, number 7, we have Garrett Boy, Dale Richardson, who used to be with Major Lazer as his sound guy and hype man and DJ. And when he got saved, he left all of that. He left the money. He left, you know, the touring. He left the name. He left all of that for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was known for being crazy, for being out there in every kind of way. And now he's known for loving the Lord Jesus Christ and sharing the gospel. Sincere relationships. You know, we try to cover relationship issues. And Solomon Wiggins, he's another artist local here to New York, and he shared about those challenges. Talib Hudson, who's a great friend of mine, and who'd probably be extremely surprised to find out that his show ranked number 9, and it was called Single in Christ, because you know what? Young women want to hear that young men are able and capable of not being perfect at all, but being in a place where they want to honor God. They want to walk that way. And a great friend that I've met online and have yet to be able to support the way I want to, but Jesse J. Hop Hardy, find him online. He does excellent work for homeless in Connecticut and has a great vision of taking that all throughout the city. And we call that episode The Homeless Cure. It actually aired a number of times. So truthfully, even though I have him at number 10, every time it aired, it really pulled in a lot of numbers. And really, he would be very high up. And, you know, Our Men and Boys Can Soar with David C. Banks, the founder of the Eagle Academy Foundation and boys' schools here in New York City. And that just goes to show how much parents care and are concerned about our boys and believing that all things are possible. I can go on and on. You know, there was Juana Key, who's supermodel of the 80s, and Antonio Neal talking about, you know, marriage and the struggle that there is to stay firm and strong, and Pretty Girl Blues and The Processed Woman. But all these were fabulous. My point is, I couldn't have done any of them myself. The first few episodes of Don't Give Up was me just talking and sharing my personal story, but that would have gotten old really quick. The show has only been powerful. It's only been able to continue because God brings wonderful people my way who are willing to open their hearts and share their lives, not only with me, but with all of you listeners. All of you means so much to me. I am so thankful. This has been a precious time to the point that I have and making it everything that I want to do and be. And I, as promised, I do have some great product coming your way. So I'm going to go out with a little bit of the outro here of Don't Give Up Now by Kay Anthony, and we're going to revamp this, and you're going to be hearing this as we approach the new year. So God bless you all. I'm so thankful for you. Bye-bye.
Life can be so hard. Like gravity, it keeps you to the ground. You might not have food to eat, but don't you dare give up now.